Welcome to Prague Will Find a Way, our podcast all about progressive rock. I'm Jay Valade.
I'm Jonathan Block.
And today we're going to take a look into Led Zeppelin's Prague leanings. Not typically considered a Prague band, more of a rock band. Starting in the late 60s, going through 1980, basically.
When I was growing up, it was like, you know, Zeppelin, The Who, the Stones, you know, you're either a Zeppelin guy or a Who guy or a Stones guy or something, you know, I was a Who guy.
I was a Zeppelin guy.
Okay.
Now, but I am not.
Of course, I listen to a lot of Zeppelin.
Yeah, I am not as deep into the Zeppelin as into the Prague world. So
right.
I'm not a person who's going to know every little detail, but still enjoy the music. And
totally.
And
totally.
I think it's their Prague leanings that made me like them more. I know The Who has a whole bunch of suites and
right.
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Very proggy moments.
Totally.
But for some reason, the Zeppelin thing got me more. Maybe it's the more whimsical acoustic stuff. Not even whimsical, but just that kind of...
The English countryside
yes.
evocations that
yes.
a lot of the music we like kind of brings out.
Yeah.
It's more than just the, oh my God, there's a mellotron,
right.
you know, or they have a lot of keyboards, you know, it's more that like John Paul Jones definitely.
Right. And I think he is the swept under the carpet member of Zeppelin that deserves a much higher, pedestal to be standing on there from my standpoint.
I agree. I mean, you know, he is I feel when they did the Page Plant thing, they kind of redeemed themselves with the O2
yeah.
Zeppelin reunion
yeah.
thing. And now with the Netflix show. Do you want to talk about that?
Part of what brought this up was I just watched the Becoming Led Zeppelin documentary.
Yep.
Streaming and it was really a cool movie.
Well, it's just, you know,
it's the very beginning though. They basically stop at Zeppelin 2, you know.
Well, and the early, you know, a lot of bands don't necessarily come up like this anymore. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones they didn't need to do this. They were already, you know, session guys and
to become this
to become
band
the band yeah,
yeah
part of the whole story is like where they came from
shows their depth that they weren't just like school chums that decided to form a band in the garage,
right? But when you also look at the birth of Zeppelin and the birth of Prague, it's all around the same time, because don't forget, I mean,
yeah,
the Yardbirds played a huge role in, you get Page going off in this direction, but you get, you know, Keith Relf going off and creating Renaissance, you know? And so it's like it's completely and then the whole Renaissance thing bifurcates as well into the Renaissance that people think about in the Prague. It's just wild the way so much different kinds of music came from one period in time and really one location. I mean, we're talking England, you know,
correct.
in the same way you can point to the US for blues or for jazz or something like that. For this, it's like hair bands as well. Good one. But I mean, you know, you get three like iconic guitars, you know, crossing paths in one band, two of them at the same time. I mean,
yeah.
Page and Jeff Beck
Jeff
in the
Beck,
same
yeah.
band at the same
sure.
time. And then Eric Clapton
right.
had been there. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, but also what happened with those people, like you just said, they divergent paths. I mean, the blues versus, I mean, not that Jimmy doesn't play the blues, but...
Right.
He infuses it with a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah, it's like he took that and just went off, because they all still do. You can for even the, a lot of the most complex music. I mean, the stuff John Anderson's bringing to Yes is blues. You know, he's bringing the two or three chords, or like Long Distance Runaround. Perfect example.
He's
you know?
So funny though. He's like. People ask me why Yes doesn't play the blues more. I go, how do you play the blues if you haven't got the blues?
Believe me, they got the blues. They got some blues music in there. Come on. You know, you can definitely hear it in there, but it's just wild the way Zeppelin was just so four guys and one of them singing. So it's really just that power trio.
Absolutely.
For a number of albums until also the keyboards come.
But the keyboards are in there at the beginning too.
That's true.
I mean, well, they're definitely, right. You got that organ. Hammond going.
Yeah, I know. John Paul Jones is playing on the first album. Yeah. So,
but I think that what progifies them for me is their genre jumping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You've got Jimmy playing that acoustic guitar in the background of half these songs,
right,
that just brings it to a different,
yep,
a different feel. It's very comprehensive in,
yeah,
that. It's not just the guitar.
No.
It is like the build, the change from acoustic into an electric to, you know, the organ, that all that kind of stuff does kind of make it prog for me.
Yeah.
Some of it, not all of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've got this hard rock element that,
yeah,
is, and Robert screaming on the top of his,
right,
lungs to some of the stuff, which is not proggy at all, but they have those moments on every album for me,
yeah,
that brings it there.
Well, you definitely on the first two albums got that rawness, right? And,
yeah,
a lot of it was what could have even been prog on the first couple of albums was compositional, the same way that a lot of other bands at that time, the instrumentation was still pretty basic. And then the third album was the one where Zeppelin III, where that's where that acoustic folk comes to the fore.
Right. But there's undercurrents of it.
There's
these
undercurrents. And then I think it finds a lot of its realization on Four, for as popular as Four is. That album contains everything you just talked about, the genre,
yeah,
hopping. I mean, from rock and roll to Battle of Evermore, you know,
right, yeah,
the difference and the moods that it evokes, even in Within. I mean, I hate to say it, you know, we're right. I mean, we're kind of lucky in the sense of, like, you know, I remember music before Stairway to Heaven. I remember before. No, we heard those as new songs.
Yeah.
People hear them as new songs now, but they're still part of the, you know, you can't walk in this guitar store and play.
Yeah, but which is kind of funny because the people who have never heard Stairway now are,
right,
the people who have never heard most of this classic rock, which is now in like the deep cuts.
Yeah.
They're like, wow, what is that?
Yeah, but my point with that is that is to go to Stairway to Heaven and say that's even a song where they encapsulate all the different,
sure,
changes in mood. So,
yeah,
as much as that song has been overplayed, it is actually the best encapsulation of everything they do.
Right.
Yeah,
it is. Really is.
There's a reason why that song is overplayed and iconic.
Yeah.
So
what was very interesting in the documentary was the way Jimmy approached the music, Jimmy Page, the guitar player, in that they made all the music up front.
Right.
And they brought it to record labels as a finished product.
Yes.
And we're like, this is it. No,
yep,
singles. You're not,
right,
cutting these up. This is what you get, which I loved.
Right.
There was no involvement of anybody,
no,
telling them what to do. And they just, this was their vision.
And he could do that because he was Jimmy Page.
Right.
Right. So, but before
Which is what goes back to you saying they had a career before they,
exactly,
got here. Exactly. He had the chutzpah to be able to say,
but it was also the time, right?
Yeah.
You know, people,
they wanted to sign people.
They were looking for bands. They were looking for bands. Now, before we get into this, you've got to show this set.
Right.
We're looking here.
So this is a box set that I don't know how long ago I bought it, but it's, you know, it's all the albums, but the Japanese Obi strip kind of version.
Okay, so this is, this was 2008.
Yeah.
And manufactured and marketed by Warner Music, but it's a U.S. product. So
it's a U.S. product, but it's got the little
Obies. It's got the Obies.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they give you both versions of the first album cover. So this,
wow,
was like the UK and this was the US or whatever.
Oh, wow.
You know,
cool.
Same songs,
okay,
on each.
Yeah.
But you only get one CD, but they give you
both. Oh, interesting.
Record, you know?
That's actually smart because you don't need two versions of the same exact thing. That's...
Huh. So this first album, I mean, people love this first album, but like we were my wife and I were driving yesterday, and Your Time Is Gonna Come came on. She's like, I don't know if I've ever heard this song.
Wait, I'm sorry. They give you every single cover variation of In Through the Outdoor?
Yes. We'll get there, but yeah, we got all... For those of you who are not watching on YouTube.
Five. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm jumping
there's
ahead.
There's probably six.
At first, I thought that was, oh, they put all the bonus
no,
material
there's the
up
sixth,
there.
Which oh, is word. In the...
Coda?
No, it's behind
oh,
the
Oh, the paper.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But again, only one physical CD.
Correct. One physical CD, one with the paper bag that it came in. I remember when this came out. And then, did you know that you could, like, take a watercolor brush and paint on it, and it would change
No, that
colors?
I did not know. That
I don't want to do it know. To these, but yeah.
These it'll do that to, too?
No, I think it was the inner sleeve
oh,
of the
album.
Album.
Okay.
Not the cover.
Not the cover. Okay.
But I don't know if these have that inner sleeve
right,
inside.
Right.
That
they,
I could paint.
If anyone knows. This also begs the question, because did they do a box like this for Genesis? And if they did they put all versions of Abacab in there? Anyone who knows that answer to that from our thousands of... listeners, just joking. But if you
no, but
enjoy
I had
this,
the box. Of, I had the Genesis
like,
box, the no, three boxes, but
yeah,
they didn't
that,
have anything.
No, I'm talking about the OB strip.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did something like that,
yeah,
but
I don't know.
Didn't Yes do something like this?
Yes, they
oh,
did.
You have that. Now, do they have variation things too?
I don't think Yes had any variations.
I'm fascinated by this now that they
Are
actually
you?
Did. I think it's wild. Well, usually, like in the box sets, we were looking at some box sets before, and we're like, oh, the books are cool, and they give you all the variations of the sleeves and the singles and stuff. This is no, you're actually getting the physical difference. Wow.
Oh. So this does come with the paper inner sleeve.
Wow.
I wonder.
Inquiring minds want to know.
This is my recollection okay. from, what is it, 45 yeah. years ago
this
now?
This is one of those things on YouTube that it's like, if we hit a million subscribers, Jay will take a watercolor paint, actually wet it, and run the brush over.
So
we'll
this
see
is,
what happens.
This is the sixth... This is the sixth...
So there's six versions of In Through the Outdoor.
Cover, yeah.
So you want to go chronologically?
Yeah, we should.
Okay, well,
all right,
I'm
let's
sorry.
Start with Zeppelin 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's Zeppelin 1. You know, half these songs, did they even write them, right? I mean, I don't even want to go down this thing.
Well, no, and I think they actually kind of said that. I mean, Robert Plant
well,
was like, yeah, I...
Yeah. Well, they said it, but then they never really did anything about it. But now they do. Anyways, I don't want to get into that. It's the first Zeppelin album.
Yet you did.
It's the first Zeppelin album. It's great for what it is. But to me, it's hard rock, right?
It is.
There's no prog.
But like, Your Time Is Gonna Come.
Yeah.
At that moment
of
the, you know, the Hammond going, and to the point, like I said,
right,
that my wife and I were listening to it yesterday. It came on like a Spotify playlist,
yeah,
and it just came on, right?
And
she was like, I don't think I've heard this song before. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How could you have not heard this song before?
But for me, the prog connection is Dazed and Confused, because it's just a simple blues thing with the atmosphere around it. You have Bonham playing the you know, heavy drum roll across the bar. It's very, to me, that's proggy. And then the spaciness and all that, it's like it's Pink Floydish in spots.
In those moments.
And
yeah.
And because that's what Pink Floyd was doing. And it would not surprise me if you know, that was, I'm not saying influence, but that,
because what year are we? We're 68?
Right, or? Because sure, people were doing slides, you know, obviously they were doing slides for years, but what the prog people started early on, like David Allen and Steve Hillage and all these people, they used a spoon. And that's how you get that. That's how you got that more ethereal sound, because they're just going back and forth with a spoon.
Really?
I'm not saying that's what Page was doing, but that was that same kind of evocative atmospheric sound. And there were, you know, there were prog bands at this time.
Yeah.
That just not. They were also, you know, Hammond organ, you know, guitar, yeah. Bass.
Boom. Yeah.
All right. So we get to Led Zeppelin 2.
Yes, of course. Songs are not on the outside.
And I know the later albums.
It's a continuation of Led Zeppelin.
Well, but there's a couple of Moby Dick, right? Tangerines on that.
We've got Whole Lot of Love.
Yes.
What Is and What Should Never Be. The Lemon Song, Thank You. Heartbreaker, okay. Livin' Lovin' Maid, She's a Woman. Ramble On, Moby Dick, yeah. And Bring It On Home. I mean, also...
Awesome
album.
And to me, is more evident in what you were talking about at the beginning about the genre hopping.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, not even song to song within songs now. You're getting more complex,
yes,
songs. A whole lot.
Some
of
the stuff I could do without, but like,
right.
Whole Lot of Love.
Yeah.
What Is and Should Never Be. Thank You. Heartbreaker. Ramble On. Those would be my favorites,
right,
from the song.
And let's not forget, you know, Page is really the first riff master. You know, everything starts with a phrase. It's a phrase.
Yeah.
It's a musical phrase. And because it's heavy, it's a riff. And that's, to me, that's some of the prog stuff, too. Because then he starts putting these riffs together. It's not just one riff, like A Whole Lot of Love, defining,
yeah,
a song. It's the later albums. It's like four or five different riffs now,
yes,
becoming one phrase.
So they're moving on a little.
They're,
I mean, Ramble On kind of starts to,
they're
to bring that.
On. Yeah, I mean, the percussion-y sound,
the build of,
yeah,
Ramble On.
Course.
I mean, it becomes something different.
But the guitar, so the production too, the guitar solo in the more in the distance. Okay, now we're on three. Now, of course, I don't even have to ask, because it has the working wheel. It has to.
It does. Yeah.
Of course, it does. If they're giving you six copies of In Through the Outdoor, they better well have the working wheel on Led Zeppelin 3.
Yes, it's got the working wheel. So. Cool album cover. I mean, this was their most at that time.
When I was a kid, this is before I was listening to music, but this would have been I want this because of that. Like,
right.
I want this album because
what
of that.
What is the
album
Soft
covers?
Machine album that's got this kind of thing happening on it? Is it Soft Machine?
Mm.
It's like a green cover and they've got all these different...
I'm spacing out.
Okay.
I don't think it's Soft Machine, because I'm going through my head of all the Soft Machine albums, and I'm getting to the point where, like, Jay would never even have heard of this Soft Machine album. What was it? It's one of the later ones?
I don't know. I'll look
it
up.
Okay.
We'll get back to it.
As an aside, tune into a future episode for the answer of today's, or answer that question for us.
All right, so Zeppelin 3 has, and of course,
wait,
my
they're eyes. In paper. They're in plastic sleeves in paper sleeves.
Yes. You know, extra, extra.
Sanitized for your protection.
Oh, my God, I can't even. Immigrant Song.
Yes.
Friends, Celebration Day. Since I've Been Loving You. I can't even read this.
Four Sticks is on four.
No.
This okay, is so we've got, well, there's of course
Tangerines on there, but
yeah,
eventually.
Friends, Celebration Day, Since I've Been out on the Tiles. Come on. Gallows Pole, Tangerine, That's the Way, Brownie or Stomp. And of course, hats off to Roy Harper.
Yeah.
That relationship it always makes me laugh.
So I'm not sure that this is my favorite album of theirs.
No, it's not. I mean, I Out on the Tiles does a Celebration Day. I like Friend. There's stuff about it, but to me, the first three albums are all of the same cloth. I don't prefer one over the other, and nor do I listen to. They played so much of this music before, when we were growing up, before even classic rock. So, oh, that's the first album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By Soft Machine.
Yes.
That's got
okay,
the...
I'm sorry. Or is that volume two?
It says 1968, so yeah, I think it's...
Yes, yeah, you're right. Same kind of thing. I spaced.
Fair enough. You thought it made me think I was losing my mind.
Well, when I think of Soft Machine now, I usually start at third, you know, the more the Robert Wyatt years, and I wasn't looking backwards. Plus, to be completely honest, there have been so many releases of those first two albums, I don't even know what the official... And actually, Volume 2 has Green in it, too. So,
I don't know.
All right, anyway. So then, of course, we move on to the Classic Four.
The Classic.
Which is an album I remember coming out, and I remember people having it. I believe my brother bought it, so I remember that album.
It was the first album I bought.
Wow. So is that 72?
Oh, I didn't buy it in 72. This is probably like 1977 that I...
Can I pull it out?
Oh, sure.
Do you mind? Oh, no. How's the Holy? One before. There we go. So... Do we even need to? I don't remember the order. Does it? I don't remember if it starts with Rock and Roll or Black Dog.
Oh.
Well, you
that's
can
a,
open
that's
up,
a good. That's
you can a... open up this one, right? 71, I think.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the first albums I remember. I remember this, and I remember Fragile coming out, those two. And the reason I think is because my oldest brother got them. That's the only reason I knew about those two albums and listened to them, was able to hear them when they came out.
So I thought this, you know, this is the impressionable young kid. The fact that this is an album that came out with this picture on it and the back and the whole thing on the inside with nothing that says
no
Led Zeppelin, no name, no nothing. I thought it was...
We all had a poster of the...
the Hermit.
Of the Hermit, the gatefold.
Of course, it comes with our little inside sleeve. Starts with Black Dog, then Rock and Roll.
Okay, so it does start with Black Dog.
It does.
That, to me, that's more impressive. So...
Yeah.
So... And that riff, so that's a John Paul Jones riff.
All right. Battle of Evermore. We were talking about this before with Sandy Denny singing.
So,
and so
Sandy Denny is probably one of my favorite female vocalists between her and Grace Slick of all time, and songwriter. So I could go on about her and the prog stuff, but that song is just great. Not just
it is
her
great,
voice.
But it also is a different color on this album versus the first two songs. The first two songs kind of go together as this double bang of heaviness, but awesome, you know, just great, but rock and roll. The song is called Rock and Roll, but then they go into Battle of Evermore and then into Stairway, and it's a great album song.
I mean,
you know,
yeah,
Evermore going into Stairway, because then Stairway ramps it back up to what we were looking at the first two songs.
But
you know, it really ties it all together.
But it has the sound and an atmosphere through the entire album. Like it all sounds like it goes together.
Oh, absolutely.
But to me, I just come back because you nailed it when you first started. It's like the to me, it's not even genre. They don't hop. They
slide it,
you know?
In.
They slide or glide from genre to genre, even in song, within songs.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I think you get that with Stairway. That's still, like, no matter how overplayed it is for me, and I listen to it occasionally, it sounds great, particularly in context of the album, like listening to the whole album. It's growing up, it's one of the first albums I remember thinking, I want to listen to this all the way through, rather than even probably Fragile. I want to listen to Roundabout again. You know, I wouldn't get past Roundabout. This is like, I want to listen to the whole album.
Yeah.
It's one of the first ones
and
I can remember that. Right.
Second side, Misty Mountain Hop, Four Sticks, Going to California, When the Levee Breaks. Those first three songs, I think, are fantastic. Levee is not one of my favorites of theirs. It's, you know, a builder and the whole thing, but it's got a little too much blues for me.
Yeah.
Personally. That's just me. And I know that's sacrilege to everyone else, but it's kind of funny as I'm looking at this, though. The only lyrics are Stairway.
Yeah.
It's like they knew when they made this album, this is the iconic song.
Right. Yeah, they
didn't even put any other lyrics on, just Stairway.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
You know, and it's not like they did this after it became so popular.
Right.
They did it when they put it out.
Yeah.
which is kind of right. an interesting thing because they just knew this is an iconic song.
Yeah. And you know, you look at the like the template of the album, right? In the album days, sometimes it was a template, right? It's like, okay, on Side 2, you get the third song being a little more, you know, going to California, kind of yes. the sorbet, the pal. Well, you look at Crimson, right? The you know, you
Moonchild.
Get no, you get Schizoid Man, or just the first side, right? You get Schizoid Man, then you get I Talk to the Wind, and then you get Epitaph, right? And then it's like the song, they go through these albums. I mean, you can point to, yeah, we can point to Yes albums, we can point to any album where the album was the thing. I think that's
yeah.
that's something that was lost. All right, Houses of the Holy, another
iconic. This is, I think, my favorite album.
Yeah, it is a very good album. It's hard to not. It's hard for me to not to say this isn't my favorite because it's such a good.
So what they did here, though, is they did not wrap that all the way around.
Okay.
Because I remember getting this and yeah. having to slide the thing right, off and then right. slide it back.
Right. Yeah.
Again, another one with not a lot of info on
right.
the cover.
Yeah.
I always liked the cover. I never really loved the inside cover.
Yeah. I honestly don't like the person. They don't need the person in there. I like the blues and the greens of the inside. Actually, it gives me it's got a close to the edge feel to it. Anyway. Color-wise,
yes.
Yes.
So, Hypnosis did this, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Houses of the Holy, we get all the lyrics on this one.
They learned their lesson.
They did.
I'm joking.
Song remains the same.
I mean, what a way to start an album. Almost the best. My second favorite album starter.
Really?
Yep.
What's your favorite album starter?
Well, we haven't gotten to it yet.
Oh, okay.
I would have said.
Fair enough. The Rain Song, which is... I think it's my favorite Zeppelin song.
Really?
I just love that song.
It's...
Because it's just a little rain.
Yeah. But the production, the instrumentation.
Yeah. Over the Hills and Far Away. Awesome.
Yeah.
The Crunch.
Acoustic bass. Those are probably the, you know...
That would be my... It's There Are You Ready, Eddie.
Yeah, right.
But it doesn't ruin the album for me.
No.
It's still fun.
Are you saying, Are You Ready, Eddie ruins the album for you?
Well, that's not my favorite moment.
Ham or cheese?
Dancing Days on the backside.
The Ocean?
No, I never can pronounce this correctly.
Dire Maker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that really how you say it?
I think so.
No Quarter, which also that ties almost with the Rain Song. The Rain Song's a little more acoustic-y for me, which is what I like.
Right, but they're two sides of the same coin
yeah.
for sure. I love No Quarter. One of my favorite Zeppelin songs for sure.
Yeah. And then The Ocean.
Yeah.
I love this album.
I do too. It's an amazing album.